everybody. I think that you are the most courageous group in the whole conference. And next time we come, we're going to do this in Chinese. How's that? Especially with Jamie. Well, it's my privilege to be able to introduce Jamie tonight. But before I do that, I would like to bring you some greetings from a good friend of mine in Indonesia. This is one of my Indonesian colleagues, and I was WhatsApping with him just 2 days ago. And I said to him, you know, I'm going to this large conference of maybe possibly up to 10,000 people. And he wrote back these words. Wow, he says. Lots of reports say that Christianity is dead in Europe. That's really what people believe, or people think that when they are overseas. But it is far from the truth. Praise the Lord. Europe faces many challenges, but may the faithful ones of Jesus be used of God to bring blessings to Germany and to the nations. Amen. Now, Jamie is here together with his wife, Mimi, and I'm here together with my wife, Andrea, and we are all members of OMF International. And in German, UMG, or Übersetzung Missionsgemeinschaft, and you will see our stand out there. It's that cool-looking jeepney that comes from the Philippines, came all the way from the Philippines. And if you're interested, please go by and take a look at that over there. There are a couple of books and things like that which we'd like to give out to you. Some of them will be at the back here, and you can pick up these flyers and also a book called Neun Generationen im Vertrauen auf Gott. You have it right there. And that's to give away. But some things we unfortunately can't give away. And this is one of them, which is Hudson Taylor, Ein Mann, der Gott vertraute. So that you can get for $12.99. And then there's also another really interesting and very, very good book of testimonies of cross-cultural workers, of missionaries, different testimonies in this book over here called Gottes Wunder im Taifun. So please have a look at the back, and you'll see a rather friendly co-worker of ours whose name is Hans Martin Richter, and he will help you out with that. Well, coming to Jamie. Jamie is the great-great-grandson of James Hudson Taylor. And 150 years ago, almost exactly to the day, 150 years ago, on the 25th of June, 1865, James Hudson Taylor, not this one, his great-great-grandfather, was used by God to found an organization called the China Inland Mission. And today we call it OMF. OMF used to be called Overseas Missionary Fellowship because it was overseas, in a sense, from China, which is where the China Inland Mission was busy. So we would like to show you a quick 3.5 minute video, which is going to show you 150 years of OMF in 3.5 minutes.
Am 25. Juni 1865. Der englische Arzt Hudson Taylor fleht am Strand von Brighton zu Gott um willige, fähige Mitarbeiter, um mit ihm das Evangelium in die unerreichten Provinzen im Inneren Chinas zu bringen. So entsteht die China-Inland-Mission. Bereits nach einem Jahr kann Taylor mit seiner Familie und 16 Mitarbeitern nach China segeln. Ende 1866 arbeiten 24 Mitarbeiter auf 4 Missionsstationen im Inland. Sie predigen das Evangelium und gründen Gemeinden. Andere Missionare möchten ihre englische Lebensweise beibehalten. Hudson Taylor aber ist davon überzeugt, dass das Evangelium nur Wurzeln schlagen kann, wenn Missionare sich mit der Kultur derer identifizieren, die sie erreichen wollen. Lasst uns in allem, was nicht sündig ist, den Chinesen gleich werden, damit wir auf alle mögliche Weise einige retten. Es folgen Jahre des Wachstums für die China-Inlandmission. 1888 arbeiten 294 Mitarbeiter in 14 Provinzen. Zwischen 1898 und 1900 finden während des Boxeraufstandes Hunderte von Missionaren und Tausende chinesischer Christen den Tod. Die CIM verliert 58 Mitarbeiter und 21 Kinder, mehr als jede andere Mission. Durch diese Zeit der Verfolgung wächst der CIM auf 933 Mitarbeiter an. Bis 1939 sind fast 200.000 Chinesen und Angehörige von Minderheitenvölkern getauft worden. Ein Wendepunkt kommt 1949. Mao Zedong und die Kommunistische Partei übernehmen die Macht. Die Missionare können nicht länger bleiben. 1950 muss die China-Inlandmission abziehen. Wie soll es weitergehen? Hoffnung keimt auf, als entschieden wird, in neue Länder zu ziehen. Die neue Zentrale wird in Singapur errichtet. Die Missionare ziehen in die umliegenden Länder und verbreiten die gute Nachricht von Jesus in ihrer ganzen Fülle. Der Name wird zu Overseas Missionary Fellowship geändert, deutsch Überseeische Missionsgemeinschaft und heute OMF. Da die Kulturen der Bevölkerung Ostasiens so unterschiedlich sind, entwickeln sich auch die Gaben und Dienste unserer Mitarbeiter verschieden. Alex fährt auf seinem Motorrad durch Thailand und verteilt Bibeltraktate. David strahlt christliche Radioprogramme nach Kambodscha aus. Makino und Iso leiten Studenten in Thailand in der Nachfolge Jesu an. Kirk reist zu den mongolischen Nomaden und erzählt ihnen von Jesus. Irene schult Sonntagsschullehrer auf den Philippinen. Carolyn bereitet in England junge asiatische Christen auf ihre Rückkehr in ihre Heimat vor. Sarah gibt verachteten Frauen in China Hoffnung und Würde durch die Fertigung von Schmuck. Peter unterrichtet Altes Testament in Malaysia. 2006 wird Dr. Patrick Fong Generaldirektor von OMF International, der erste Asiate in dieser Position. Heute haben wir mehr als 1400 Mitarbeitende aus über 40 Nationen, die unter etwa 100 Volksgruppen in Ostasien arbeiten. Aber auch unter Asiaten in Europa, Afrika, Nord- und Südamerika, Neuseeland, Australien und in Asien. So hat Gott uns in den letzten 150 Jahren gebraucht. Wie will er dich gebrauchen?
Imagine you had to see that in English. It was fast enough in German, wasn't it? Well, you saw James Hudson Taylor the first, and today you're going to be listening to James Hudson Taylor the fourth. Mit etwas weniger Haare, aber naja. We have a picture of the family. And so there's Jamie with Mimi and their three children. So we have James. This is James Hudson Taylor the fifth. And then we have Selena and we have Joy. These two are in university and Joy is in her 10th grade in high school. Now, a little bit about Mimi. Mimi was born in Taiwan. And as you look at Jamie, you might think, well, he must have been born in America, but actually that's not true. Jamie was also born in Taiwan. And Jamie went to a Chinese elementary school. Both of them, however, studied their degrees in the USA, and Mimi studied voice performance, which you'll be hearing a little bit in a little while. Her graduate studies, as I said, were then in voice, and she's also produced a number of CDs. The family live at the moment in Hong Kong, and James leads OMF's Chinese Church and Missions Ministries. That's a really important ministry that he's involved in that he is working with Chinese churches and working with Chinese Christians to mobilize them for cross-cultural mission. Jetzt etwas auf Deutsch, weil ich möchte nicht, dass Jamie es versteht. Ja, unter uns in Asien ist Jamie so als ein Ei bekannt. Und bitte Leute, ich rede jetzt nicht von seinem Kopf, sondern Jamie sieht westlich aus, aber innen drin ist er chinesisch. Und das ist eigentlich ein riesiges Kompliment, wenn ein Chinese so etwas sagt. Und einmal hat er eine Predigt gehalten in, irgendwo in Asien und hat dann auf Englisch gepredigt. Und es kam auf ihn zu, dann ein chinesischen Pastor. Und er sagte, Jamie, na, ich muss mal sagen, ich bin beeindruckt. Dein Englisch ist ziemlich gut. Fast so gut wie dein Chinesisch. So, Jamie is someone who is really, really well known in China and in Asia, as well as in other parts of the world. Andrea and I, my wife and I, we had the privilege of working in China for 3.5 years. And for some of that time, Jamie and I got to work much more closely together. He models a life which is rooted in our Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to be speaking tonight about living a life that makes a difference. And he's going to be speaking about his great-great-grandfather. But I do want to say this, that Jamie is somebody who models that as well. I've come to know him as a person of courage, a person of dedication, and also a person of integrity. When he says he will do something, then he does it, even though it's difficult. He will go ahead and do that. Someone who is not afraid to get out there and do the difficult thing. So I'd like to then, without any further ado, invite Jamie to come up. And just before he starts speaking to us, maybe we could take a moment to pray. Father, as we come before you today, we want to thank you so much for the fact that you are our Father. The fact, O Lord, that you sent our Lord Jesus Christ to die for us. The fact that he rose from the dead. The fact, O Lord, that you sent the Holy Spirit to be with us, our comforter and our counselor. We thank you, Lord, for the way in which you have called men and women into your service. And we thank you, Lord, for the lives that you have used to your glory. And we know, Lord, that these are to your glory, not to our own, but to yours. And so we do thank you, Lord, for James Hudson Taylor and for all that you've done through him. But Lord, as we look ahead, we want to thank you again also for the lives of people whom we use day by day. Some lives of whom we will never know, but they live to serve you. Thank you, Lord, for Jamie. Thank you, Lord, for Mimi. And we commit them to you today, Lord. And I commit especially my brother Jamie to you. As he speaks to us, I pray, Father, that you would speak through him. And that, Lord, your words would come into our lives and speak into our lives. And help us, Lord, to respond to you and to all that you have to say to us. And so we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good evening. Good evening. I forgive Sydney for everything he says in German that I do not understand. And I would only remind him that for everything we say here on earth, there will be accounting in heaven. It is a great joy for Mimi and I to be with you here. Actually, this is our last stop in Germany. We began some 10 days ago and have spoken, I've lost count how many times. And I'm sorry to say you've caught us at the last breath, but we're trusting that the Lord would help us this evening as we have a chance to share a bit about what God has done and what God desires to do, I believe, through each and every one of you. In Chinese, there is a saying, as the husband sings, the wife follows. But in my family, it's the exact opposite. The wife first sings, and then the husband follows. And so I'd like to invite Mimi to come up and lead us in a song of worship as we wait upon him.
1866 arbeiten.
I've been asked to speak this evening on the title, Living to Make a Difference. Living to Make a Difference. I don't know perhaps what Bible character you immediately think of when you think of that title, but as I was meditating on that title, actually a very familiar Old Testament figure came to mind. It is the person David, a person, a figure in the Old Testament that I am sure all of us are very, very familiar with. And I'm sure this evening, if we took a survey, what is the best-known story of King David? I am almost certain 99.9% of us would say it is the story of David and Goliath. The story of David and Goliath. If you, like me, grew up in the church, I am sure you have heard the story of David and Goliath innumerable times. I grew up in the church, and yes, I heard the story of David and Goliath so many times that I remember some Sunday school teachers decided not to tell the story, but rather they asked us to act out the story. I grew up in Taiwan, and so I was always a head taller than everybody else in the class. And so you can imagine the role that I got. As I recall, I was never asked to be David. I was always asked to be Goliath, and you'll know, of course, that Goliath did not have a good ending. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, we read of the story of David and Goliath. And if you have the chance to carefully go back and look at that chapter and read through it, you will find that on four occasions in that chapter, we read David making reference to God. And this evening, what I would like to do is to very quickly use those four references of David to God as the outline of my message that I would like to share with you on how not only David lived to make a difference, not only how Hudson Taylor lived to make a difference, but how you and I, in the 21st century, can also live to make a difference. Living to make an eternal difference, having our life count in eternity. If, of course, you're familiar with the story, you remember that David's brothers were on the battlefield together with the other Israelites facing the Philistines, facing Goliath. And David's father sends David to the front, to visit his brothers. And you remember just as he was there, Goliath came out to defy the Israelites. And David was there to hear. And he turned to those around him and said, "What will be done with this person who defies the army of the living God?" That is the first time, actually, in Scripture that we even come across David speaking. What will be done with the person who defies the living God, the armies of the living God? Of course, you remember that the Israelites answered that question by saying, anyone who kills Goliath, Saul, king, had promised them three things. First of all, he promised his daughter to them, that they would become King Saul's daughter. Secondly, he promised that person great possessions. And then thirdly, he promised that person tax exemption, that his whole family would be exempt from paying taxes. And as I reflected upon David's first comment with regard to God, who, what will be done with the person who kills this man who defies the army of the living God? I'm struck with the fact that in this story, we first of all see David as being passionate for God's glory. Passionate for God's glory. I've often thought about those three things that King Saul promised anyone who could kill Goliath. First of all, he promised that person great wealth, possessions, that he would have great material wealth and great material possessions. Not only so, that he would be a person of position, that he would become the son-in-law of King Saul. Not only so, but he would also have privilege, as we have already mentioned, that his family would not have to pay any taxes. And I thought of those three things: possessions, position, and privilege. I don't know what your definition of success is, but I'm sure actually those three things make up the definition of success, earthly success, for many people in the world today. Many people view success as having a lot of possessions. Many people view success as having position. And many people view success as having privilege. Earthly success. And yet, my friends, we see that that was not what David sought after. David was not seeking after earthly success, but rather he was seeking after eternal significance. Not earthly success, but rather eternal significance. For he was a man passionate for God's glory. Passionate for man, God's glory. And of course, I'm reminded of that also, not only in the life of Hudson Taylor, but in the lives of many people that God has used down through the centuries. And I would go as far as to say this, that God uses those who are passionate for his glory. Passionate for his glory. And that was the thing that I think occupied Hudson Taylor and was on Hudson Taylor's mind when he went to China at the young age of 21. For he saw China at that point, some 300 million people racing to a Christless eternity. And what weighed on his heart there in the middle of the 19th century was that here was a country, China, in which many, many people did not know God and did not revere God and did not honor God and did not worship God. And that was what was on his heart. And that was what concerned him the most. I'll never forget reading a story of his early experience in China. He was preaching in a certain place, and a young man came up to him afterwards and said to him, "Thank you, Teacher Taylor, for coming to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was deeply moved, and I would like to actually accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. But before doing so, could I ask you a question? I would like to know, how long has this gospel been in your country?" Before Hudson Taylor had a chance to answer, this young man went on to say, not only he had been searching for this truth, but his father had searched for this truth. His father had searched for this truth in animism, in Buddhism, in Taoism, and Confucianism, but never found the truth. Not only did my father seek for this truth, my grandfather also sought for this truth, but never found it. How long has this gospel been in your country? Hudson Taylor had to answer that question, and he responded by telling this young man that the gospel had been in England for several hundreds of years. To which this young man responded by saying, "Why have you taken so long to come? Why have you taken so long to come?" And that event began a lifelong for Hudson Taylor of being passionate for God's glory. Not only God's glory in his life, but passionate in places where God's name is not honored and where the gospel of Jesus Christ has not yet been declared. And my friends, brothers and sisters, if you and I, if our lives are to make a difference, I believe, first of all, we should be people passionate for God's glory. Passionate for God's glory. Well, as we go back to that story of David and Goliath, you'll remember that David was brought into the presence of Saul. Saul immediately says to him that because of his age, because of his youth, he is not able to go and fight Goliath. After all, Goliath had been a warrior since a very young age. Go back and read that section of chapter 17. It's probably one of the most wonderful parts of the Bible. For in that brief conversation that David had with Saul, we see a second characteristic that enabled David to live a life that was different. You remember he tells Saul that he was a keeper of his father's sheep. And when a bear or a lion came and took just one sheep, David would risk his life to deliver or to save that sheep. And just as God enabled him to find victory and to kill the bear or the lion, that God would also give him strength and courage to face Goliath. And in that short description, I think the second characteristic in which you and I can live to make a difference is simply this. We are equipped through God's training. We are equipped through God's training. It's interesting that David first learned and experienced God's training in the private before God used him in the public. And that might not sink in for many of us here, but I hope it does. Because I believe that there is an important spiritual truth to that. You and I will never rise in the public what we first don't achieve in the private. And it is in the private that we first experience God's faithfulness and God's training, that in turn God can use us in the public. And that was the same case with Hudson Taylor. Some of you who might be familiar with his life know that he started the faith mission movement. But it was actually even before he started the faith mission movement that God taught Hudson Taylor the importance of trusting upon God's faithfulness. Actually, even before he went to China at the young age of 21, while he was still studying in England, in the city of Hull, as well as in the city of London, that he experienced God's faithfulness in the private before God was prepared to use him in the public. But if we go back to that story, not only is there a public and a private or a private and a public, it's interesting that David was first faithful in the small things, and then God would entrust him with greater things. That dialogue between Saul and David has always struck me as being a very powerful example of God's desire for you and I to be faithful in small things. And as we are faithful in small things, God will entrust us with greater things. Go back and read that passage. Isn't it interesting how many sheep David risked his life for? He actually only risked his life for one sheep. And I'll be honest with you, if it was Jamie Taylor, I would probably just chalk it up for loss. After all, my life is more important than one sheep. And yet David was faithful in little things. Could I pause there very, very quickly? Because as I see David, this shepherd, risking his life for one sheep, I'm reminded of a greater shepherd, and his name is Jesus. And he did not risk his life for one sheep, but rather he gave his life for many wandering sheep. And the Bible tells us that while we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ died upon the cross for your sin and for my sin. And in David, we have a wonderful picture of not somebody who risked his life for the one sheep, but rather somebody, and that man is Jesus, who gave his life, who shed his blood on the cross, that all those who have wandered far away from God might find redemption in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. David was faithful in small things. I remember my great-great-grandfather said something very profound. Well, he said many things profound, but this one especially stuck in my mind. He said, a small thing is a small thing, but faithfulness in a small thing is a big thing. A small thing is a small thing, but faithfulness in a small thing is a big thing. And David's life was lived to make a difference, inasmuch as he was faithful in the small things. Well, just one other thing very quickly in that dialogue between David and King Saul. Not only was there the private, the public, not only was there the few and the many, but it's interesting that David's confidence was based on what God did in the past. And it was with that confidence of what God did in the past that enabled David to face the future. And I just think back to my great-great-grandfather's 50-plus years of experience of serving the Lord in China. Actually, there is a phrase that God gave to him very early on in his missionary experience in the city of Ningbo, which is not far from Shanghai on the coast of China. There's a word in the Old Testament, actually a name of God, that we find in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 22. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. You remember that's the name that God gave to Abraham after instructing Abraham to go to that mountain and sacrifice his son Isaac as a burnt offering. And God on that mountain prepared a ram as a replacement for Isaac. And it was there that Abraham experienced God as Jehovah Jireh, our provider. And I'm struck, my friends, of God's faithfulness. That just as God is faithful in the past, that gives us confidence to face the future. Hudson Taylor once said this. He said, what we need is not a great faith in God, but rather a faith in a great God. We don't need great faith, but rather we need faith in a great God. And so David tells us, first of all, to live to make a difference, we need to be passionate for God's glory. Secondly, he tells us that we need to be equipped through God's training. Equipped through God's training. Well, if you read down the story, you remember that David then runs off to the battlefield, and on the way he picked up 5 smooth stones from the brook. And he faced Goliath. And he turned to Goliath, and there we read the third time that David makes mention of God in this chapter. And there he tells Goliath that you come depending upon sword and javelin, but I come depending on the Almighty God. Depending on the Almighty God. And I think there is a third principle of how to live to make a difference. And it's simply this. Not only should we be passionate for God's glory, not only should we be familiar with God's training or equipped through God's training, but we need to depend upon God's enabling. Depend upon God's enabling. Actually, David faced many challenges before he even faced Goliath on the battlefield. For instance, he faced, first of all, his older brother's ridicule. You remember that when his older brother saw this little rump of a brother, when he saw his youngest brother there on the battlefield, he immediately turned to him and said, "What have you come here to do? Where have you left those few sheep under your care?" And so he faced the belittlement of his older brother. Not only so, he faced the discouragement of Saul, as we mentioned already. You remember that Saul immediately said to David, "You are too young. You will never be able to fight the battle." But there's a third challenge I think perhaps is also important for us. It's interesting as I read down through that chapter how even the Israelites presented a challenge to David. If you get a chance, go back and read that chapter. And what sums up the Israelites is this, that there was a lot of commotion, but not much motion. In other words, what I mean, they were very good at sounding the war cry. But as soon as they saw Goliath, you remember they turned and ran. And so there was a lot of commotion, but not much motion. And so David faced that challenge as well. Well, certainly he faced the challenge of Goliath. And yet, my friends, brothers and sisters, what a wonderful picture of God's enabling in David's life. I'm conscious of the fact that today is Pentecost. And if we're familiar with the New Testament, surely we are familiar with Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where Jesus calls upon his followers to wait in Jerusalem until power from on high. And as they receive that empowerment, they will be able to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. And you and I need to be dependent also upon God's enabling if we are to live to make a difference. David was passionate for God's glory. David was equipped through God's training. David was dependent upon God's enabling. But could I close with one last picture of why David was able to live to make a difference? And it was simply this, that David had a desire that all the world would know that there is a God in Israel. And simply put, David had a desire to proclaim God's salvation. To proclaim God's salvation. Sydney introduced us and highlighted the fact that actually next month, on June 25th, our organization, the OMF International, formerly called the China Inland Mission, will be celebrating our 150th anniversary. It was on that day, 150 years ago, that my great-great-grandfather, Hudson Taylor, found himself in the southern city of Brighton, England. He went there, I dare not say, on the verge of an emotional breakdown, but he went there with a very anxious heart. He went there because he saw the thousands and thousands and thousands of people in England who had access to the gospel of Jesus Christ. While 300 million Chinese were racing to a Christless eternity. Hudson Taylor used to refer to them as a million a month. A million a month. Incidentally, just to put it in perspective, in Hudson Taylor's day, there were 300 million. I believe that's about four times the size of Germany today. But 150 years later, China now has 1.3 billion people. 1.3 billion people. Almost an unimaginable figure for us, I am sure. But Hudson Taylor thought of those million a month who were stepping into a Christless eternity. He found his way onto a beach in Brighton. He had this Bible in his hand. I call it the Brighton Bible. I won't be able to open it or else it will fall apart. But here in this Bible, he recorded a very simple prayer, and it was this: Lord, give me 24 willing and able workers for China. 24 willing and able workers for China. Could I change that prayer just a bit this evening as we close? Not willing and able, although those are both important. But Lord, would you give us people today who desire to live their lives different? Not only to live their lives different, but to live their lives to make a difference. And I believe it sets for us a wonderful blueprint of what it means to live to make a difference. To be people passionate for God's glory. to be people who are trained and equipped in God's school, to be people who are dependent upon God's enabling, and above all else, to be a people who have a desire to see God's name proclaimed, whether it here is here in Germany or whether it is on the other ends of the earth. Living to make a difference. Would you be willing to be that kind of person today? God is looking for modern day Davids. Would you be willing to be one? Shall we bow our heads in a word of prayer? Father, thank you for this evening. Lord, the short time that we have had together. Lord, I thank you that just as in David's day, just as in Hudson Taylor's day, and Lord, here in the 21st century, you are indeed still looking for people who desire to live their lives to make a difference. And Lord, I thank you for the example of David. I thank you for the example of Hudson Taylor and many, many others whose lives were lived to make a difference. Father, help us to be passionate for your glory. Father, help us to be equipped through your training. Help us to depend upon your enabling. And Lord, above all else, help us to be people with a desire to declare and to proclaim your salvation. Father, help us to live our lives to make a difference. Amen. Amen.
Es bleibt uns ein großes, herzliches Dankeschön, dass Sie doch noch zu uns gekommen sind, so knapp vor Ihrer Ausreise, Zurückreise. Wir wünschen Ihnen Gottes Segen für Ihre Reise, behütete Zeit und allen Segen für Ihren Dienst unter chinesischen Geschwistern. Ganz, ganz herzlichen Dank, Dr. James Hudson Taylor. Ganz herzlichen Dank, Mimi Taylor. Herzlichen Dank, Andrea und Sydney aus Frankfurt zurzeit und später wieder aus Asien. Ja. Ja. Dr. James Hudson Taylor wird noch da sein, zuerst für Fragen, aber auch das Buch von dem Gründer der China Inland Mission ist dort. Er ist auch bereit zu signieren. Und das kleine Heft, was Sydney am Anfang vorgestellt hat, 9 Generationen im Dienst für Jesus, ist zum Mitnehmen da. Ebenfalls zum Mitnehmen sind die Hefte von Faktum und Ethos. Auch da ist ein Artikel von Dr. James Hudson Taylor und seiner Familie drin. Dann noch willkommen zum Fragen und zum Bücherkaufen, Mitnehmen, Signieren. Behüteten Abend noch. Mhm.